Hello and welcome to When They Popped. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Mary.
Okay, Mary, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Do we want to talk about any life updates?
I got engaged.
Mary's getting married, you guys!
Yes, my now fiance, which feels so weird to say, and I got engaged a week ago. So it's been a busy week, a crazy week, a great week, and an even more exciting week because we're having Kelly Klinger on again for round two. But Kelsey, our dear Kelsey, was a reporter in the field last night and attended the AJ McLean, Joey Fatone concert.
One legendary
night. Yes, and she is going to give us a little rundown. And I'm going next week. So anything else that pops up, I'll circle back with you all for our episode next week. But Kelsey, tell me about it.
Okay. This is going to be, I literally took notes. This is literally just me reading through my notes. I apologize. It's a little unhinged, but this is also informational for you, Mary, so that you can be ready for your concert. And if you're listening to this and you don't have tickets yet, you need to go to this show. And I hope that my little rant explains why. First of all, we were like in the pit, which was really fun. It was at House of Blues in Boston. I really didn't know what to expect of the show because there's only been like one or two other performances. So it was all very fresh. The opening DJ is mixing all these songs. It is like a 90s nightclub.
Amazing.
Everyone was having the time of their lives. This was the nicest crowd I've ever experienced in my entire life. And he goes, by the way, if you dance really hard, I'll give you a pass to sit on the couch that's in the middle of the stage right now.
So did you dance hard?
My husband came with me, which was so nice of him. But we got there like as soon as doors opened, but that wasn't enough to get us close.
A lot of people are getting there earlier because of the sound check and the VIP times are ungodly early. So
great point. I didn't do VIP this time, but that's a good note. So the DJ's spinning. Everyone is in the best mood ever. And then the band comes out because there's like a live band with horn section. So good. And Mike, my husband, goes, I have to go to the bathroom. And I was like, seriously? Like, they're about to come out. He goes to the bathroom and he texts me and he goes, I just saw AJ. He's back here. I think he's going to come through the crowd and enter. And he did. Joey comes out. He's singing, You're All I Ever Wanted. Ooh. And then AJ does the second verse through the crowd. So if you haven't bought seats yet, try to get ones that are on the aisle. Just trying to give you some strategy here. You know, we're playing chess, not checkers. Okay. So that was the most exciting part, that he came out into the crowd a couple times. AJ sang four of his solo songs. We got a lot of AJ and Joey singing each other's songs, which was really fun. AJ also had this moment where he got super vulnerable. He shared about how he checked himself into a mental health facility at the end of the DNA tour last July and how he feels so much better. Also, any pop culture girlies out there, he named the mental health facility that he went to. And it's the same one, I Googled it, that Raquel Levis went to from Vanderpump.
So
maybe she met him there. I was like, I've heard detective that name before. Where did I hear it? I know.
Great.
Literally, I will find any red thread I can to a Backstreet Boy, clearly. But he was just sharing how he feels so much better. He's clear. Authenticity is the word that he's living by this year. And I think we've said this before in our Backstreet Boys episodes, where as a Boston girly, I get really nervous that they hate coming to Boston, because during their Black and Blue tour in 2001, they had this huge standoff with AJ when his addiction really reached, you know, a peak, and Kevin like broke down the door of his hotel room. So I always get nervous that they have like why would you want to come to a place that holds
bad
such dark memories? But AJ brought it up and he was like, instead of saying this was a place where I hit my rock bottom, he said, this is a place where I started making the decision to live a healthier life.
The perspective, huge.
Absolutely. So that also made me feel better as like a Bostonian. Speaking of being a Bostonian, they really customized the show for us. It felt like they came out in those Dunkin's outfits from the Dunkin' Donuts Super Bowl commercial. They played like a Dropkick Murphy song. And it sounds like they do a different set list every single night. So the songs that I got, you may get different ones, which is really
fun. That's interesting.
My other favorite part of the show, what I love about AJ so much, and I'm sure this is also the same for Joey, but he sounds exactly the same, honestly, probably better than he does on his recorded tracks. The charisma, the oomph, the je ne sais quoi that they bring to the stage, it's honestly insane. And I don't know, my favorite way to see Backstreet Boys is when they're all together versus one Backstreet Boy singing a song that was made for five different parts, but they pulled it off together and it was so fun. AJ also promised us that we're going to get more music this year. Mm. He acknowledged that he's been saying this for years and it hasn't come true. So we always talk about how AJ is like the biggest gossip because he is, and he acknowledged this. He said he brought up the Spice Girls thing. Remember a couple months ago, he said that maybe they'll do like a Backstreet Boys Spice Girls reunion tour. He totally walked that back. He was like, I said one thing about Spice Girls and it went everywhere. And just to clarify, we're not going on tour with Spice Girls. And then Joey chimed in and was like, yeah, and we're not doing shit. Like, in sync. And the crowd like boo hissed, like good. Everyone's mood like plummeted. Good. He clearly read the room very quickly and he was like, well, if we were doing something, do you think I'd tell you?
Okay,
still stringing us along,
of course.
So the mystery continues. Will NSYNC give us more? Will they give us a tour? We'll ask Kelly what her predictions are when we get on with her, because I'm sure that she'll have some good guesses as to what could be coming down the pipeline. Overall, I give this show 5 pink sparkly microphones. It's 10 out of 10. You have to go see the show. Even if you aren't super Backstreet Boys, super NSYNC, it is just a night of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. You'll get some new songs from AJ and just some old favorites. Like, they played Blink-182 for us. And I was also DMing with one of our listeners. Shout out to Kate. She was also there at the Boston show. And she said Johnny Wright was there too. So keep your eyes peeled for the legend himself.
If I saw Johnny Wright, I would approach him.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure he would be down for a photo too.
I'd just be like, thank you.
Literally.
I don't know. I would feel like I would be less intimidated by him just because he's not one of them.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because I felt like Joey and AJ both came off as so approachable. Mm. Like, it was almost like we were like in their living room. Like, at one point, Joey was singing while holding like a cup of tea in his hand. Like, it was just, it felt
casual.
And it felt like they weren't not trying, but it felt effortless. Like, they truly just ooze charisma.
I love that.
Like, in a way that I don't think we see very often.
Well, I'm so excited. I go on Thursday and I'm doing VIP with AJ and also sound check. So I'm sure I will have some fun things to report back from that. And I am so excited to hear what Kelly has to say. So here she is.
Quick disclaimer that we do not own or claim to own the rights to the songs or performances in this episode. The purpose of these clips is for commentary and critique.
Today, we are so lucky to have the Kelly Klinger back with us, joining us for another episode. Oh, we are so excited to have her on. I think she is one of our top 5 most popular episodes, and we just still get so many requests and questions that, like, please ask Kelly this. When are you going to have Kelly back on? So luckily she's an angel and ready to sit through another round of pop culture chats with us. Kelly, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for asking for my return. I still get messages from people who listened to the podcast the first time, and everyone is so kind, and that's kind of refreshing. As I told you guys last time, I don't do a lot of this anymore, so just know that I must like you a lot and your listeners a lot to be back. But no, thanks so much for asking me back. I'm excited.
You're nice to everybody, so
thank God
it's reciprocated. It's,
and you have the absolute best stories that we've truly ever heard. And you're such a talent at telling them also. It's so entertaining. We're so grateful to have you back, Kelly.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with talking about some timely stuff. For example, Justin Timberlake released his newest album, Everything I Thought It Was, just, I believe, a week or so ago at this point. Yeah. We had a Justin Timberlake featuring NSYNC song on there, Paradise. Everything is happening. It's just what I And I believe that was the song you had in your story. You had a reaction listening to the boys and their harmonies. It seemed like you were brought back to a time when you were there and they were singing around the piano. Tell us about that memory.
So when they lived in that rental house that Lou had rented for them, Robin Wiley, who was their vocal coach, started working with them. And she would come to the house and she was just one of the most fantastic vocal arrangement people on the planet, obviously, if you listen to anything they've ever done a cappella. Most of those arrangements were put together by her. I can remember like just being there and they would all be gathered around the piano and she was teaching them the national anthem. The bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. And I thought she knew.
I thought she knew. My world revolved around her. My love light burned for her alone.
Listening to them, you know, have a new song and the harmonies and like even just when Justin just posted the clip of it and Lynn had already been like, you need to prepare yourself because it not only is like, oh, it's NSYNC again, but like the words are very applicable to what things that they've felt and things that we've felt about them being back together. And I think it's not lost on me that the clip began with JC singing solo. It didn't begin with Justin, it began with JC. Like Justin knew what people wanted to hear. And so when it got to the part when they all just were singing together, like Lance's voice was so prominent that it just took me back. And it took me back to sitting on that ugly floral couch and listening to them, you know, learn these harmonies. And they were just babies at the time and that they were able to harmonize and be in sync the way that they were. And I just kept thinking about Robin and what an integral part she played in every part of their career. And yeah, I just burst into tears just because of the nostalgia of it. For me, they're such a big part of my history and my life and being there at the very beginning. It was a really emotional moment for sure.
I loved seeing your reaction and everybody's reaction online. I would love to hear your thoughts on the album as a whole.
It's fantastic. Look, you can have whatever personal feelings you want to about someone's character, but when it comes to their talent, sometimes it's like, okay, we can't deny that part. So even people who may not, for whatever reason, Justin may not be their favorite person, but we can't deny the amount of talent that he has. I think that the songs are so strategically placed in the order that they're placed in the album, which I think is really cool. The No Angels video made me feel like I needed to like sage my house. I was like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. But it was also very like throwback thriller-esque. And, mm-hmm. you know, now you can kind of push that dark boundary a little more than you could like when Michael Jackson did Thriller. But I mean, the album is full of bops. It's full of great songs. So, I mean, I think the album's fantastic.
The internet was like on fire last week when he brought out NSYNC to perform live as a surprise as he was, you know, debuting some of his album. What did you think about that? I know hearing it for the first time, but what about seeing them all together for the first time since like 2013?
Oh, I cried for sure. I mean, I knew it was going to happen. And I knew I wasn't going to watch it live because they were in California and there was no way I was going to stay away.
Right.
And so the next morning, I got up and watched, I mean, how many videos were there of it?
1 million.
Yeah, from every angle. And then I had a couple friends who were there, like, send me some videos of it. Sure, I just cried. And it's crazy how so many years can pass and it's like it never passed. It's like nothing ever changed. You know, Joey's still a goofball. And then just the joy on their faces, like just so happy to be together and to hear JC sing live again and like and actually have a whole verse, you know, and even his line that was like, I know God's plan is divine.
Ooh, cause when your heart's close to mine, I know God's plan is divine and it's meant.
it was like, yeah, it is. Like everything that's happened was for a reason and everything happened when it was supposed to.
And then they ended with, "We are in sync." And I feel like that sent everybody in an exciting spiral.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in sync.
From what I read, people didn't like on the album that it said like featuring NSYNC, I think is what it said. And I think Justin wanted to make it super clear, like, we are NSYNC, you know, the five of us are NSYNC. So yeah, I think everybody went a little bit crazy when they said that.
Oh yeah. And let's dive a little bit deeper into this now. We told you guys to send us in some questions for Kelly. And this first one is the one we got the most. And it kind of ties into this discussion about Justin and why some people may not be rooting for him right now. Or, you know, there seems to be some conflict, but you and I have had nice discussions about this before. And I want to bring it to the podcast. Basically, first of all, your reaction to Britney's book, and then how you can both be a fan of Justin's music and also support Britney telling her story and her truth. Like, this does not have to be like a one or the other type situation. Talk to us about that, Kelly.
You know, I thought Britney's book, I thought it was good. I thought it revealed some things that people were unaware of and were kind of shocked by some of the details that she shared. I've always said, I feel like you own whatever happens to you. Mm-hmm. And Anne Lamott, who's one of my favorite authors, she has this quote that says, if people wanted you to write nice things about them, then they should have been nicer. Mm-hmm. And so I think that everyone has stories and everyone has perspectives from their stories. And your perspective is your truth. So something could happen between me and you. You could see it one way. I could see it another way. But the way you see it is your truth. And the way I see mine is mine. And I feel like there is several things going on in this dynamic. I feel like, number one, there is just a group of people who just want to demonize Justin. And, you know, I can understand that in a way because of the way that he's been portrayed in the media and things that have been said about him. And a lot of it is half truths or not true at all. And that's not, I'm not talking about Britney's book. Right. I'm just saying this in general. And so when you post something sometimes that is pro Justin, people assume it's anti-Britney. And that's not where I am at all. And that's not the kind of person that I am at all. And, you know, I kind of think of like if I had friends who were married and I was really good friends with both of them and they ended up getting a divorce. Do I have to pick a side? Do I have to say this one was right and this one was wrong? Because I don't think relationships fall apart with just one person doing something wrong. I think relationships fall apart because there's two parties involved who are young and fallible and flawed, and that sometimes things happen. So when I post something, like I posted that thing about the hate against Justin and, you know, and people hating him who've never even met him, they base their hate on what they read. And it's like, you don't even know who wrote that. You don't even know where that came from. Not that that's going to happen, but spend some time around these people and see who you think they are after that. And just like every single one of us, everyone has regrets about things that they did when they were younger and things they said. And we would all go back to our teens and 20s, most likely, and be like, mess that one up. Try again. That is not to excuse anyone's behavior. That's the truth of being human. And so in my mind, I can love Justin and love his music and support him and also know that he is human and flawed. And I can love Britney and support Britney and whatever it is that she chooses to do, and also recognize that she is also flawed. In parts of her book, I think she talked about, I think it was when she talked about making out with Colin Farrell. Was that?
Yes. Yes.
And then maybe kissing Wade or something like that. There's a lot of details that were left out.
I believe that.
And whether that was for protecting the other party to not get sued, I don't know. But there's much more to those stories than what was shared in the book. So I think they both hold a place for what happened in the relationship and why it fell apart. But I love both of them. I want nothing but good things for both of them. And I feel like I can do that with both of them and that I don't have to necessarily pick a side.
this was something that happened, as you mentioned, when they were basically kids. Obviously, we can have an issue with how it went down, but we all have regrets from back then. And then the fact that that's what all the media focuses on. It's not on Lou Taylor. It's not on, you know, the things that her parents, all the things that kind of culminated to put her in this terrible situation that she's been in. But it's focused on, you know, something that happened when they were teenagers.
Brittany was victimized since she was a very small child. Her trauma began at a very young age. So to read that whole book and your take from it is, well, this is all Justin's fault. You probably need to reread the book. There's a lot of blame and culpability that could be placed on a lot of people. And among those people, Justin is probably closer to the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
It's the media. It's what they want to do. The story about her dad or the story about Lou Taylor or anything like that, that's not necessarily headline news. But if you right. say Justin Timberlake forced her to have an abortion, somebody's going to read that. Somebody's going to get mad about it. Somebody's going to hate him.
I would hate to be judged by some of the decisions I made when I was, you know, 18 or 19 as a 33-year-old adult woman now.
Well, I hate to be judged on like a decision I made yesterday. I mean,
right, like, same.
You know, and that's the thing about being a celebrity. The spotlight is on you all the time. Mm. You can't say the right, you know, it's like people are nitpicking everything you right. do and everything you say and every outfit you wear and every place you go. And why didn't you do it this way? And why didn't you do it that way? And after a while, it's like, good Lord, let the person be a human. I think there needs to be, just in general, there needs to be more grace given to people. There needs to be more like, hey, you messed up. Do better. Yeah,
it reminds me of that saying, you know, there's your story, there's my story, and then there's the truth.
Right.
You know, context matters. And the way I remember something may not be the way you remember something. Mm-hmm. And when you're only hearing one side, it's really easy to sort of dogpile. Do you know if there's any interest in sharing Justin's side of the story? Or it's just like, if you were his PR person, like, what would you advise him to do?
If I was his PR person, I would advise him not to say anything, because no matter what he says, it will be the wrong thing.
I think mm-hmm. you're right.
Sometimes it's better just to not say anything and hope maybe that some things will kind of dissipate. And I think him releasing new music in his own way, that's his therapeutic way of dealing with the backlash and the hate that he's been getting over the past few years.
It totally feels like a fresh start.
It does.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just kind of the first thing I wanted to lead off with, because, you know, I was a Backstreet Boys girl. You know, I loved NSYNC, but they weren't my OGs. And I ride really hard for Britney, but I've taken issue with this almost like bullying that's seemingly gone on for months and months and months over something that someone did when he was young. And I knew you would feel similarly, because I know how much you support both.
I think it's important for us to support each other. You don't like pick and choose because someone is human or made some mistakes.
All right. Another question we had from one of our listeners, Black Bubblegum Pod, her name's Jasmine. And she was kind of curious from back in the day, what the dynamic was like, the support structure with like NSYNC and Britney. Did you get the sense that their well-being and their stability was a priority, or was this just kind of run them into the ground to make money and records?
Hello, Jasmine. And thank you for your question. This is a tough one. And I actually like wrote a couple notes down, because I was like, how do I feel about this? So NSYNC had Lance's mom, Justin's mom. They had people like Carrie Sellers and Melinda Bell and Johnny Wright. They had people who were always around, always looking out for their best interests. Yes, they worked their butts off. And yes, there were times when they probably needed a break and didn't get one. With Britney, on the other hand, she really only had Felicia. And she had a good relationship with her dancers. But when Jamie sort of took over, all of her dancers changed. And she didn't really have a good support system. Now, all that being said, it's very different for women than it is for men. In just about every part of society, but especially in this particular industry. And the NSYNC guys would be more willing to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or no, we're not going to do that. You know, I can remember Lynn telling me a story about when McDonald's approached Justin to write a jingle. And of course, he ended up writing "I'm Loving It," which, I mean,
hello.
I'm loving it. She said Justin was at a table with McDonald's executives and looked at them and said, "I will never be in a commercial and hold a cheeseburger." And it was like, okay, like I'm not that person and that's not who I am and that's not what I'm going to do. A woman in that situation, I'm not sure would have felt secure enough to say that same thing and have that same conversation. And so in Brittany's case, as far as a support system, her support system was very small. Mm-hmm. And then it was pulled out from under her when Jamie took over. And it really should be the other way around, especially NSYNC was five guys. Right. And, you know, they weren't all minors. Brittany was a minor when she started and had the crazy family that she had. If anything, I think she needed more support. And those of us who were around her tried to be that support for her. But I think she started operating out of trauma from such a young age that she didn't even really know another way to be.
Yeah.
So sadly, I don't think Brittany got the support that she really needed. And I don't think she knew she needed it until it was too late.
I think we hear a lot from women in the industry also who say that they're hesitant to speak up, even if they know something isn't right for them, or if they just don't want to do it because then they're labeled as difficult or sure. A bitch. The numbers were against her, that it was just her. And being a young person in an industry where you're already at a disadvantage, but then also just being mindful of your reputation, the cards are just stacked against young women in particular.
And it was so quick, the I'm doing concerts in malls to I'm headlining a tour. Like, that was such a small window. I mean, her frontal lobe wasn't even fully developed. I'm not mm-hmm. even sure that she would have been able to navigate what was going on and feel like that she had a say in much of it. It's sort of like she was just set up for failure from the beginning. As women in general, and especially in the South, you're taught like to keep sweet and do what you're told and don't say anything. Don't be tacky, as my mother would say. And so that's what you do.
I was going to say she's always struck me, at least back then, kind of as a people pleaser. I obviously have no idea, but yeah. It seems like she wanted to please those who were telling her what to do.
Yeah, that also is a very Southern thing. I also think it's a very natural thing when you're young. I told Matt, I was like, I think my people pleasing skills, the pendulum has swung so far the other way that I'm like, I'm going to say exactly what I want to say. And I don't really care what you think about it. Can I swear on here?
Please.
Oh, yeah.
The older you get, like, I have zero fucks left.
Zero.
I have none left.
Zero.
Like, Mary okay. and I are still working on losing our fucks.
I go through phases.
We still have a couple. We want to ascend to where you are, Kelly. Like, we're getting there. Enlightenment.
You gotta remember, I got like a good 10 to 15 years on y'all. So well, it'll come.
Goals. So how about a lighter note? From our friends at This Must Be Popped, they mentioned an interview Kelly Clarkson did with Howard Stern recently, how Kelly mentioned that Bruce Springsteen was super underrated as a vocalist. And they wanted to know what vocalist you thought doesn't get the proper recognition or is underrated.
You know, when I start thinking about this question, I can think of some artists that people would know, but I also think of a lot of independent artists or artists who I feel like I'm like, why does no one know who this person is? Because they're fantastic. But also I think like there are certain people like Joe Jonas, for instance. His voice is fantastic. His range, I mean, people give a whole lot of credit to Nick, but I don't think they give enough to Joe. I think Joe really has like a special part of his range that is really different and unique. And not to mention, he's not too bad on the eyes.
He's easy on the eyes.
Oh, yes, he is. But I don't know, like there's artists like Betty Who. I don't mm-hmm. know if you know who that is. We have loved Betty Who for years in my house. It started out because she looks exactly like my oldest child. Oh. So they kind of became friends. And then Betty is a Mickey Mouse Club fan and an NSYNC fan. And so when they had their star on the Walk of Fame, and they had the big party. Betty was there. So we kind of become acquaintances over the years, but she is one of the best songwriters I've ever heard. Her voice is fantastic. She's a great performer. And then there's another artist that I love. Her name is Sam DeRosa. She was on Songland, which I loved that show when it was on, and COVID ruined it. But she wrote a song called Pill for This, and she presented it to Charlie Puth on Songland. Songland was where, like, they would have independent songwriters or people never, they would choose a song of theirs and they would record it. And she sang it on Songland, and Charlie Puth looked at her and was like, this song is too good for me to take. Wow. Like, this is your song. You need to record the song and make an album. I started following her since then, and she's a great, great writer. So, you know, there's people like Annie Lennox. There's people like, I don't think she's underrated. I think everyone knows she's fantastic. But Brandi Carlile has one of the best voices I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, so we have some new artists to check out that are criminally underrated. Let's talk about another big question we got a lot that Doriana Mercado asked us. We love Dory. And what a lot of people want to know, what do you realistically think is next for NSYNC?
Oh, Dory. She is not the first to ask. My hope is that they will or have recorded more songs, and that they will either join Justin on his tour for some stops. I think there's a couple things in the works, but I'm not sure that, you know, touring is really hard. Like, it is, it's hard on your body, it's hard on your mind, it's hard on your family. And they ain't all spring chickens anymore. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the tour would be realistic. Maybe a residency. So that's my hope.
I just am having anxiety thinking of what, like, the Ticketmaster would be for a residency. Like, Eras Tour Round 2 trauma.
I'm waiting on, like, Taylor Swift to take on Ticketmaster, because it really is absolutely ridiculous.
If there's anyone who can solve the Ticketmaster fiasco, it's the Swifties and, like, boy band fans.
Yes.
Like, if we can just combine our forces, I really feel like we can make the change happen.
Seriously. I feel like we could solve the world's problems.
Kelly, have you seen anything within the last couple days, weeks about the Nickelodeon documentary that came out?
I have. I watched it. And what caught my attention was the first episode, the bald guy, Virgil, that they interviewed. So he was the stage manager for Mickey Mouse Club.
Whoa.
I had no idea what he did after Mickey Mouse Club. But I was friends and went to homecoming with Sean O'Neill, who was on Clarissa Explains It All. He was the guy who climbed in the window. That was a show with Melissa Joan Hart. And he was her friend who climbed in the window. But I went to homecoming with him. We were friends when I was in high school because he was in Orlando filming the show. So he had told me a couple of stories, but I mean, I was 16, 17. I really didn't think much of it. I just knew something was off just with the whole atmosphere. Now that I'm older and I watch things like that, there's so much that at the time when you're young, don't even realize is inappropriate. I think it's so important when you have kids to teach them those things. Like, I have a rule with my kids. You don't ever have to hug someone that you don't want to hug. I think it's really important to teach your kids boundaries with people. And that generation, my generation, was like, no, you do what you're told. Yeah. You don't ask questions. If a grown man wants a massage, you give him a massage.
He's the boss.
Yeah. And if you want to keep your job, that's what you do. And there was nothing on there, sadly, that surprised me. Just the parts that we know.
Right. I bet there's
a lot
more.
That's what I would think. Think about just the parts you know.
I know.
Or that people are talking about. And think about all the things that's underlying that we don't know. And that they may never say out loud.
I felt like that documentary was just the tip of the iceberg of what went on at Nickelodeon. Kind of on that vein, one of our listeners, Backstreet Glambert, RB, recalled that you had seen Aaron Carter when he was a young kid, kind of on his own in Orlando. You maybe babysat him, saw him around, and just kind of wanted more information about that. Was it surprising? I mean, you were pretty young yourself at the time, but just seeing someone as young as Aaron kind of unsupervised living at Lou's, like, what was your kind of reaction to that?
I think I thought, because he was so young, where are his parents? You know, I think I thought that a lot, but I was also surrounded by Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Take Five. I was surrounded by kids who were constantly left unsupervised, swimming in Lou's pool, going to places with him. Like, so at the time, I'm not sure that I thought that it was as weird as I think it is now. He loved and just adored and idolized Nick. And he wanted to be like Nick. And his parents wanted him to be like Nick because that meant more money for them. And he was one of the most hyper children I've ever been around. And if you can channel that in the right direction, which is what they did, it can be very lucrative. And he was cute and his songs were cute. It appealed to a certain audience and he loved the attention.
I was the audience.
But looking back, I can see that there was like an underlying sadness to him, even at like such a young age, because, you know, there's something that happens to you when the people who are supposed to love you and support you the most just basically abandon you. I just think it was too much for him. It was almost like he just stopped maturing at a certain age. And all of his lashing out toward the end and all of the things that he did toward the end, substance abuse and those kind of things, they're all just so typical things that happen to people who go through what he went through. And it's so heartbreaking.
I would also imagine just having this constant burden or pressure to live up to your brother that, you know, had this one in a million type success would have to become heavy. Especially when you're not reaching that level of success and you grew up in the environment that you described. Like,
Well, I mean, and like the same thing for Jamie Lynn, you know, I mean, when your older sibling sets the bar so high that there's no way you could ever, you can't, there's no way you could ever compete with that. Like, he's Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys. She's Britney Spears. How are you ever going to compete with that? And so you spend your entire life being compared, trying to live up, and there's no one coming for you.
They're coming because you're so-and-so's little sister or little brother.
Right.
Exactly. That's, I would imagine that's very difficult to deal with. Let's lighten it up a little bit. Poofy Shoes 28, Michelle, our dear
poofy
friend.
Poofy Shoes?
Poofy Shoes 28.
Poofy Shoes. Is this Poofy Shoes like Spice Girls Poofy Shoes?
I'll have to ask Michelle how she came up with her
I know.
IG name.
I need to know Poofy Shoes. I kind of want to Google Poofy Shoes right now and be like, wait, are these slippers? Are they comfortable? Can I wear them to work?
Yes. What
are they? Michelle, we are all asking you right now to tell us, what are the Poofy Shoes? Okay.
What Michelle needs to know is what your favorite NSYNC song is and just, you know, one that you could not live without.
I thought she knew.
Wow. I feel like that's a deep cut, like a fan favorite. Like the masses don't know that one, but it's one of their best.
It's the nostalgia of it. It's the harmonies. I don't think they, well, okay, I was going to say, I don't think they made a bad song. Let me take that back.
And which one is that?
Yeah, tell us.
Riddle, maybe?
What's the riddle of it all? What's the riddle on the mind? It's impossible.
I don't know if I know Riddle.
I don't know if Riddle's on the American album. It might be on the European. It was their first album. Someone was talking the other day on Twitter about how JC invented cyber sex.
He did.
With digital get it down when he hit the floor.
Digital, get down. Just you and me.
And I responded because my friend David Nickel co-wrote that song. Mm-hmm. And so I remember being in the room, like when he was telling me the concept of the song and how, you know, people were going to be able to do whatever in the future. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I was like, people, no, there's no, it's disgusting. People are never going to do that. And I was like, wrong.
I love that song.
I know. I love that song too. Like I said, there really aren't many songs. That first album had a couple because they were doing so much almost like it was very European.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the songs kind of sounded the same. But I mean, there's really not many of their songs that I don't like.
Okay. On that note, the time that you spent with NSYNC, Kate02882, she sent in a great question. Who had the most groupies in NSYNC back in the day? Spill the tea, Kelly.
Who had the most groupies? It was Joey. Joey had the most groupies. And some of that was because of his personality.
Yeah.
Like, he was always talking to the fans. He's still that way. He just has that big personality. And a lot of the other guys were just more private, more quiet, right. But definitely Joey. And Joey would tell you Joey. Like, if you asked this question, Joey would be like,
me.
Humble King. Yeah. Let's go through the grab bag. I am so eager to see what you found in that blue box, Kelly.
Please.
Some of these I found this morning. So I was like, I don't even know I had these. So I have a whole roll of pictures from the I Want You Back, the first video, the one in the tight shirt.
So were you there?
No, my friend Jonah, who I've been friends with forever, who's a makeup artist now for like Marvel movies, but he did their makeup for that video. And I don't know if he gave me these I don't even know how I got it. Look, if you're watching this and I stole these pictures from you when I was 18, sorry. I don't know where they came from. Look at Justin's face.
Are they under a blanket? Like cuddling?
It's like a thing they use to like cover up stuff on set. All right, let's see.
How cool.
My wedding. I've never released the video and I won't.
Fair.
But we'll just say that JC and Justin were having fun.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, do they
have is that Justin with a tie around his head?
Oh my God.
Justin has a tie, a necktie around his head. People used to do it in middle school dances.
Literally, that was the move. By the end of the dance, everyone's tie was like, oh my God. Wow.
Okay, so you've seen the picture of Justin putting the diaper on the Cabbage Patch Kid at my baby shower. I found the one of Chris doing the same thing.
Oh, look at that hair. The Chris hair.
Chris's hair is so long.
This is me. I'm singing a duet with Louis Fonsi.
Didn't you go to a dance with him, too?
I dated him.
Oh, my God. That is so cool.
All right. So I also have Tearing Up My Heart.
JC playing guitar, mid-note.
Oh, my God.
Looking fine.
Now, were you there?
Yes.
You were.
I was there for this.
What?
The poses. I think we need to bring back the early 2000s, late 90s poses.
Seriously.
We have guys on the floor pointing, the arms open.
Another one.
A treasure trove.
Okay. This is funny. I found this morning, literally in a box. This is the music video proposal.
Oh my God.
For I Want You Back.
What does it say in the overview?
It says, this is a song that has a very big and layered sound. These aspects of size and depth should be portrayed visually in a way that best demonstrates the individual talents of each group member.
Wow.
And then it goes on like as to how they should be dressed, the concept.
That is a collector's item. My goodness.
Oh my God.
Like, I had finally found the box with all the crap in it.
Kelly, I want to come over.
We need to do an MTV style Cribs tour.
Kelly.
Like, you know, the Vogue 49 questions. We need to do that
with
you.
We want to come over.
My rehearsal dinner.
There's just,
there's me.
Oh, look at you.
You look like a baby, Kelly.
I was a baby. I was too damn young to be getting married. All right. Mickey Mouse Club days.
Oh, my God. JC's bangs that are like straight cut across are...
He has a hat on.
Oh, God.
Thank God that's a hat.
I was so scared for a second.
Yes. I'm wearing like a tracksuit. What am I wearing?
That was the look.
And then have you guys seen these?
Ooh.
So these are black and white.
Oh, look at Joey.
Okay, those remind me of the really nice photo booths that are at weddings now.
The white backgrounds. Yes. Everyone's kind of washed out.
Like the Kardashian photo booth. NSYNC started it.
Truly.
Now we know.
And this was right before I got married. So Joey wrote to Kelly, good luck with him.
That is so Joey, I feel like.
This I don't even know what to show you first.
Oh, God.
When Justin and JC first moved back to Orlando, they recorded some songs with my ex-husband because we had a studio because my ex-husband was an engineer. And so I found the lyrics.
Stop. Just another lonely night. Shazé, Timberlake.
Adler. So that's my ex-husband.
Oh, my. That is so cool.
I have the cassette tape somewhere of this song. I just have to find it. But
you got to find it. Convert it.
Oh, and God. Then, so we started their first website.
Oh, like NSYNC?
Yes. So, like, we started their fan club. And so I found, like, the setup of what it was supposed to look like. Like, get NSYNC with NSYNC. So, because I was doing their fan club and their website, I had each of them fill out.
Oh, my gosh.
A fact sheet. So this is actually their handwriting.
Oh my God.
This is Justin. His favorite cereal is Corn Pops. His favorite toothpaste is Close Up. Shampoo Logix. Cologne Tommy. Huh? Hamburger Checkers, which I'm like, that boy ain't never had Checkers in 20 years. Jeans, Lucky Brand, soda, Mountain Dew. And then on the back, some of these are really funny. It's like, describe a typical day. Justin says, wake up, eat cereal, take long shower, do school, work out, eat cereal, sing, eat cereal, good night.
Oh my God.
The man needs his pops.
Can you read us someone else's day in the life? I want another one of those.
Tell me who you want.
Who do we want, Kels?
I feel like Joey would be funny. Yeah. Or Chris.
Okay, Joey's day in the life. Work, rest, workout, rehearse, clubbing.
Clubbing?
With all his groupies.
Let's see, Chris. Wake up, play some ball or hockey, work out, practice with the guys, sing at Universal.
Pretty good day for him.
Yeah.
Go sing at Universal.
Pretty good. Let's see. On JC's, his typical day was wake up, take a long shower, eat, shoot basketball, work out, eat, sing and dance, eat, hang out with the guys, eat, and go to sleep. To be a 17-year-old guy.
Eat.
Eat,
sleep,
have all my carbs.
Yeah.
Lance's was very specific. Okay. I wake up and go to school and study for about 4 hours. I eat and then I go skating and then I go to Bally's to work out and do something fun, like go to the movies or to lose to play darts.
Well, thank you for that detail, Lance. Who knew he was so detail oriented?
I know. So I have one of those for each of them.
Oh my gosh. What a treasure trove. I feel like I saw you tweet, Kelly, that you found a mock-up of the denim outfit.
I did. Yeah, when we were going through all the stuff.
Yeah. Was that when you were doing the stuff with Lynn for the store?
Yeah. We would just open up a closet and it would be like, I remember where, I think we were in their house in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And we were in his bedroom and she was getting stuff out of his closet. He never goes back to that house and he had tons of clothes in there. And so she was pulling clothes out of one side of the closet and I was on the other side of the closet and it was all these like NSYNC t-shirts and stuff. And I was like, she goes, what? And I was like, is this the denim suit? She was like, I don't know. It could be. So I pulled it out and it has a tag on it and it has like rhinestones and stuff. And I think the one that he wore didn't have rhinestones. So I think it was just the mock-up of it. But it was still pretty cool.
A piece of history.
Fashion history.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, my. Stop it. You cannot show me these things and expect me not to lose it.
This is a binder that says Britney Spears Tour 1999 on it in that fancy, like, calligraphy font from Word in the year 2000. God.
And then this is the binder that has, I think I told you guys about
this
binder. Yes,
you did.
So this has, like, the set list. So the first one is You Drive Me Crazy. So it has like my notes.
Oh my gosh.
No vibrato.
No vibrato on You Drive Me Crazy.
I like how I write like ooh, ooh, ooh three times. So okay. This was the official set list that everyone got. And then so our room list, the first person on the room list is Brittany. So her name was A Lot of Warm Heart. That was her hotel name.
Wait, her hotel room name was A Lot of Warm Heart?
Her fake name, because you can't put her in as Britney Spears, because back then you could call a hotel and be like,
yeah.
Hey, can you transfer me to Britney Spears. So you had to have fake names. So hers was A Lot of Warm Heart.
That is so sweet.
Oh my God. What a fun little, I've never heard that before. How cool, Callie.
Like the other people on here are like Wade Robson, Darren, Lynn Spears. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyways.
So Kelly, what are your thoughts on, you know, Kelsey went and saw Joey and AJ last night on this kind of boy band combo super group thing they're doing.
Boy band combo super group. I love it. I think if two people were going to do that, that Joey and AJ could not be a better combination. They're both funny and entertaining and authentic. You know me. Like, I think there's room for everybody. Yeah. I think it sounds like tons of fun.
It's amazing. Yeah. If you get a chance to go see it, Kelly, I mean, it's not just NSYNC or Backstreet Boys songs either. They do throwbacks. They even do show jingles and theme songs. They do this really funny thing where they throw a giant dice into the audience, like an inflatable giant dice. And wherever it lands, they make a song on a whiteboard. They sang Blink-182 for us. Like, it was so much fun.
That's awesome.
Everyone was in the best mood. And it's because AJ and Joey have such great chemistry with each other and so much interaction with the crowd. Joey did like a jazz rendition of Want You Back. And it was like so cool.
Yeah. Everyone's like, wait, Joey can really sing?
He can.
His voice sounded amazing. And
he really can sing. The two of them have like just personally really good energy.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like it doesn't surprise me at all that the crowd was really happy because you kind of follow what's being presented to you. Mm. I mean, Joey is funny all the time.
I was dying, Kelly. He got the lyrics to Bye 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 wrong. I was dying. He sang the second verse first, and then AJ sang the second verse like again. And it was mostly like NSYNC fans there from what I could tell based on the t-shirts they were wearing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Joey. Uh-huh. These girls have been waiting decades to see this live again. It was so funny.
You can't even get the words right. You had one job.
One.
But if you think about it, the fans, they listen to those songs all the time. It's not like Joey goes around bumping Bye Bye Byes. You know, when you sing a song for like 5 years straight, you're probably not going to listen to it for a while.
Well, Kelly, we have stolen enough of your Saturday. Thank you so much for hopping on with us and just talking about all of our favorite things and reminiscing about the good old days and our favorites.
It feels like an appropriate time to do it with them releasing a song. And
yeah. Our friend Sarah's 90s World, she was like, does Kelly care when we tag her in all our NSYNC posts and stories? And my follow-up question that I piggybacked on hers was like, does it ever get old kind of being in this nostalgia NSYNC Britney circle? Or is this something that you'd love forever?
I don't care if anyone tags me. It's fine. And it doesn't get old because it feels like part of my history. It feels like it was at a time in my life that was such an impressionable time.
Yeah.
And that I have memories and I have things that no one else has, and which feels like an honor. And no matter how much time passes, they will always be special to me. I will always love and cherish the time that I was there and a part of things, and will always want the best for them. So no, it doesn't get old, and you're welcome to tag me.
R. Kelly, the angel. Thank you so much for joining us again. And
you guys are great.
Thank you.
And by the way, so our move was so stressful. Mm-hmm. We didn't get a van that was big enough. And I have a 2-door bright blue BMW convertible that will fit nothing in it. And so it was me and one of my dogs. And we didn't leave till like 11 p.m. And I spent the entire drive listening to you read Britney's book. It is the only reason I stayed awake and made it to Ohio. So
Kelly, that episode, I felt a little unhinged.
To me, I think sometimes we're allowed to get unhinged. It's all right.
Well, and you messaged me after that episode came out, and it meant a lot to me because I felt a little unhinged and not sure if I handled that episode correctly. So that meant a lot.
Well, those were tough subjects to cover, and a lot of it was kind of unexpected, and a lot of it was kind of heavy.
Yeah.
And those are all things that are hard to talk about. And so yeah. I thought you handled it very well. So, and you kept me awake for that whole time.
Hey.
You saved
a amazing life. Goals. Yes. Goals. We kept her alive and awake.
Look, look, you saved my life and my dog's life. I think you handled that with an immense amount of grace. And I think that's super special. And I think that's very rare in people these days. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think that's why I've connected with you guys like I have, because I think all three of us are trying to see the good in people and trying to focus on healing and love and light and connecting in a way that we all realize the world needs more of that. So,
wow. Better said than I ever could. So thank you for doing that. Thank you, Kelly. We love you.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
All right.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.
All right, that was our discussion with Kelly Klinger. She continues to amaze us with how cool and funny and what an amazing storyteller she is. Kelly went through her big blue box of belongings from her recent move, where she found some truly historical relics.
Collector's items. My God.
Collector's items. Truly. We can't believe some of the stuff that she showed us. And we're going to be posting some clips so you can see all those goodies on our Instagram at When They Popped Pod. So make sure to follow us there so you can admire these treasures along with
Never
us.
Never before seen, probably. A lot of these have been in the box for many, many years. So Kelly, we love you. Thank you. And thanks to all of you for listening.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.